I always really question the notion, the inbuilt assumption that our conventional current industrial food system and production models are actually efficient. We waste so much food, and they're really only efficient if you measure them in terms of calories produced, but not necessarily in terms of nutrition produced or nourishment considered more broadly.
Presenter Nicole Savita, an instructor at the University of Colorado Boulder, describes regenerative agriculture as going beyond sustainability to promote resilience and redemption for ecosystems as well as communities.
I'm really talking about intentions and actions that continually enhance the vitality of a place, a person, a community, or a system. A lot of what we moved to over the last several decades to try to do less harm than what we now call conventional agriculture hasn't quite succeeded because much of it has drifted towards the model that we've been trying to replace. And so rather than just trying to do less harm, we actually want to shift towards thinking about whether we can feed ourselves and do good and have be net positive.
Doing good to have a net positive involves addressing social ailments produced by our dominant food system in addition to continual environmental degradation.
We want to think about our food systems as tools for poverty alleviation, community building, and even individual empowerment, as sites for engagement.
Savita sees the COVID crisis as a disruption and therefore a time of possibility for establishing a healthier foundation for meeting our society's most essential needs.
Our 13th Amendment, when it ended slavery, carved out a really big exception for those who were convicted of a felony. And so we still have what is functionally slave labor in our food system in the United States. I don't think we can be regenerative without taking on these acts of redemption as well. We need to end agricultural exceptionalism and really start pulling back on the ways in which our environmental and labor laws just simply don't apply to lots of agricultural activity. Or agriculture and food system employers, or don't apply evenly, and make sure we get protections for our agricultural and food system workers.
A steady increase in interest for locally produced food supports these possibilities, as affirmed by Dr. Don Thilmany, professor of agricultural and resource economics with Colorado State University.
It's moved beyond farmers markets and CSAs and roadside stands, although a lot of people still love those, to having new innovations like food hubs throughout the country, who are also trying to make it easier for us to get those into schools and hospitals. The other thing we've really noticed is, besides the marketplace, just a really strong interest in bringing a new policy dimension to our discussions about where food fits into our society.
The presentation concluded with an announcement from Wendy Peters Moschetti, Director of Strategic Initiatives for Live Well Colorado. This organization, responsible for healthy food incentive programs like Double Up Food Bucks, will soon be rebranding as Nourish Colorado.
That will probably launch August 1st. So we have a new name, logo, mission, vision, transforming food systems is our tagline. So Live Well Colorado, as you know it, is going to be retired. So more coming on that.
Colorado Farm and Food System Response Team, made up of 14 organizations, including Live Well Colorado, responded to the onset of this pandemic with a small grants program. $140,000 was awarded in the first round, with $200,000 more to be distributed among applicants currently under review for round two. The remaining $190,000 for round three will focus on infrastructure for rebuilding a more resilient future. The full presentation is available on 350 Colorado's Facebook page. Information about joining their Regenerative Agriculture Committee is at 350.org under the Get Involved tab. For KDNK News, I'm Raleigh Burley.